Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's the former general manager of the Seattle Seahawks, longtime NFL executive. He is Randy Mueller from MuellerFootball.com. Randy, great to have you back with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be with you.
We appreciate your time.
Thanks,
I think it's interesting this year, Randy. July 29th, here we go. All the teams getting started in what could be a really interesting NFL season. My fingers are crossed, Randy, that the pandemic doesn't get in the way of anything this year. Have you heard much about the confidence level of teams that this thing is going to be full go and just normal, if there is such a thing in this day and age?
Well, I think you're right. I don't know what's normal anymore, that's for sure. But I do think teams are planning to have a fairly normal season. I think the things that we went through the last year or so, some of that stuff's going to stick, obviously, in the protocols. But for the most part, it's going to be a pretty back-to-normal type training camp for most. I see a bunch of teams have scheduled to work with other teams. I think that's a good sign. We have our preseason games back, and I think for the most part, off-the-field stuff is going to be less distracting, and I can sure see these teams getting fired up to start camp, that's for sure.
So, Randy, the big impact of this season is the addition of the 17th game. What kind of an impact do you think that's going to have on training and training camp?
I think it's definitely going to have an effect. I don't know that it's going to have effect during camp or in practice per se, but I can see some rep reductions once the season starts. I could see, normally, say, in a group of offensive linemen, you never change those out during the course of a game. Maybe a defensive guys rotate a little more, but I could see some positions trying to steal a few reps here or there. Let's face it, a certain number of plays has become the norm for players and their bodies over the year. I think you'll find certain teams try to steal some reps here or there to keep those play counts down. I think more than ever, you're going to see teams trying to be healthy around Thanksgiving to make that run the last month of the season. So I think there'll be some effect. Who knows how much, but I do think teams will find ways to make conscious efforts to keep people healthy for the second half of the season.
Randy Mueller joining us. Randy, the talk in Cleveland for a while has been about Baker Mayfield and his contract situation and extension coming up. And I'm not sure exactly where the Browns should be on this. As a former general manager, as a guy who's done this stuff before, is Baker the type of guy who you break the bank for and think he should be one of the top, let's just say, five highest paid quarterbacks in the league? Or do you maybe kind of roll that back a little and can you offer him a top 12 type of contract without offending a guy? How do you approach something like this?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the issue of the times for the Browns, that's for sure. We all agree their roster is better. They've created some depth. They've created some competition elsewhere. And the expectations are now at the point where people are expecting them to make a playoff run. I think you bring up the probably biggest question mark going forward is how to handle the Baker situation. I think the Browns have shown that they have a process that they go through, whether it's adding players or signing players to contracts. I think they've done a really good job in controlling their costs. I think in Baker's case, the thing that probably holds things back right now is the other quarterbacks in his draft year have yet to sign extensions either. If I'm him, I'm really in no rush. I want to see where Lamar Jackson comes in. I want to see where Josh Allen comes in. Not that he's going to get more than them, but I do think that kind of sets the ceiling for where he might be. I think in an ideal world, yeah, if you could pay him top 10, top 12, they'd probably look to extend sooner than later. I'm sure Baker's guys are going to be looking for more than that, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm not so sure that they can overpay him just for continuity's sake, and I think that's the question they're probably asking themselves.
Let me follow that up, Randy. So what do you do then? You don't want to run the risk of the guy not signing and staying around, I wouldn't think. You know, Browns have been looking for a quarterback since 99 when they returned to the NFL. You would think you have one here, but I don't know if he's, you know, an absolute top dollar guy. So that, to me, that's a really tough balance.
Yeah, it's a tough balance. And Dan knows this. I brought this up, 6 months ago. It wouldn't have surprised me if the Browns had drafted a quarterback in the second or third round just to protect themselves because of it. It's a tough spot. You're not looking at a skill set that sets him apart from anybody else. But having said that, he has proved he can win games. He's proved he's functional. I think the bigger question is this the offense that we want to run and that Kevin Stefanski wants to run going forward? And is it inhibited at all by Baker's skill set? My guess is they'll find that out maybe the first half of this year. Obviously, we know he played well at the end of last year, but there's not a giant body of work with him in this scheme. So maybe they wait it out this year and kind of see where the chips fall. I don't think that would be the worst-case scenario for either side, that's for sure.
So an odd question for you here. What's happened to the middle class of quarterbacks? You know, like we used to have where, like, the top-tier guys would get their amount of money, and then it would kind of, you know, fall down, and guys would fit their way down here. And it seems like now everybody kind of gets this max thing, and then we work our way down from there. What's happened to the middle class?
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think it's a gray area. People don't know how to treat that. I'm not so sure you don't have to have another quarterback or two in the hopper all the time, especially when your top guy is in this type of situation. The middle class has been cut out in a lot of ways this year more than ever before because of the cap and teams having to be compliant. They've released a lot of players. They've kept maybe their top dollar guys, and then they've gone with minimum salary guys as backups. So I think the whole middle class, not only at quarterback but around the league, is a little bit of a disappearing act this year. I think we'll get back to having depth. We'll get back to, you know, paying backups a reasonable amount next year. I just think it's going to be tough this year because of where the cap ended up.
Randy Mueller joining us. Randy, what would Baker have to do this year to show everybody that he's more than serviceable, more than functional, more than good, that he's upper echelon?
I think he's got to be steady. I think he's got to pick up where he left off last year. I don't think he has to be a world beater. I think he has to prove that he's not the reason if they don't win, that's for sure. I think in Baker's case, he's got a great setup for him there. It's just a matter of him staying within the system and producing on a week-by-week basis. I think everybody sees kind of his upside, but everybody also sees the question marks as well. So I just think he has to be himself. He's got to come out and continue to make good decisions. Again, the system is set up for him to succeed. And I think the other thing that enters into the equation is that how much you pay a guy like Baker is how we feel about the rest of our team. Do the Browns feel like they've done enough around him, or are they going to still have to go out and add more talent? That would make me a little nervous about committing, you know, $35 million to Baker Mayfield if the rest of our team isn't quite where we want it to be.
Randy Mueller, MuellerFootball.com, former GM in the NFL, longtime president of football operations as well. Let's switch over. What do you expect out of Odell Beckham this season for the Browns coming off the knee injury?
Well, I would expect him to be back to where he was a couple of years ago. I think it's been ample time to rehab. I think the skill set is going to take a little bit of mind over matter. He's got to prove to himself that his knee's right. But I think he's a big plus for them to have back, without a doubt. As long as he does not prove to be a distraction, which we all know that sometimes he can do, I think he's a big plus for Baker. I think he's a plus for the Browns. players at his level aren't easy to replace, that's for sure. So I know there was some talk, are we better off without him? I surely don't think so. I'm for keeping good players any way we can, and I think he's going to make life easier for some other people on that offense, that's for sure, because when right, he can get away from coverage. He can outperform defenses the way they play him. He's proven that he can do that. So I think he's a big plus. I think maybe there's a little slow start when you try to project him to answer your question, but I think by midseason he should be in form to produce and be a difference maker toward the end of the season.
Randy, there's been a lot of thought, you know, Odell makes a lot of money, Jarvis makes a lot of money, that this could be the last year of the two of those guys together. Does it have to be?
No, I don't think it does at all. Again, I'm for keeping good players, so I'm not going to let the cap dictate that we can't have another receiver as well. And obviously, it can't just be the two of them. We've got to have three or four receivers in a group to move forward and build some depth and some trust with the quarterback. But I don't think it has to be the last season at all. And I wouldn't look at it like that if I was Andrew. I would worry about this season for now and adding to it maybe with some young talent. I think you probably eliminate adding another veteran to the mix, when I talk about mix, the receivers in general. But you can always draft. You can always add up-and-coming players to the mix. So I think they're fine, even for the long haul. I don't think there's anything imminent that says this is it for these two together.
The Browns have set this up where they're spending the majority of their money on the offense and then far less money on the defense with a boatload of one-year deals and, you know, rookies and that kind of stuff, besides Myles Garrett, of course. Do you like the way that that's built? Is that the smart way to do it, is invest in offense and then kind of take some lotto tickets on defense?
Well, when you say they've built it a certain way, I guess my question is, have they really, or is that the hand they've been dealt? You know, some of their better players have been taken care of. Maybe the one-year deals by the defensive side are on guys that they're betting on the come, so it's a smart investment. I don't know that anybody has a plan in place ahead of time to say, hey, we're going to spend all our money on one side of the ball or another. It's not a static process. It's not a, you know, we can make this out on paper any way we want. Sometimes you are dealing with contracts from the past. You're dealing with skill sets from the past, and you've got to make the best of it. So I think if they found defensive players that they felt good about for the long haul, you can sign them the long haul deal. I just think these one-year deals are prove-it type deals, and that's what the market presented itself with to them in order to get better this year.
Longtime NFL executive Randy Mueller joining us. MuellerFootball.com is website. Boy, go take a look at that, and you'll see all kinds of very informative things. Randy, when you take a look at this team, I know folks are expecting big things out of the Browns this year. If you're Andrew Berry, and you've put together this roster, you know, last season you really emphasized the offense. This offseason you really emphasized the defense. Where are you concerned with this roster if you're Andrew Berry heading into this season?
Well, I'm always concerned with depth, especially at this time of year. There are some teams that had to shave their roster to get in to make them cap compliant, and I worry for those teams. And I'm talking about, well, we've already seen it in Rams camp, right? They lose a running back. They have one experienced runner after him. Teams like the Saints, the Rams, Atlanta, even Seattle, they have taken a hit in depth. And I think in the Browns' case, it's not if you're going to have injuries. It's just when. So you've got to build the depth through the draft. You've got to build some depth with these one-year deals. I think I would continue to do that and look for protective type deals that, you know, maybe it's a defensive lineman here or there that is still injured that we won't get back till after the PUP window, which is week 6. I think I would still be shopping for depth if I was Andrew or any GM at this point, because I still think there's some good players on the street right now.
Randy, always a pleasure.
Well, hang on, Jeff.
Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it. Yep. Yeah.
I got one more if you don't mind.
Dan's rolling.
All right. So, this is not an Aaron Rodgers question per se. This is a modern quarterback question.
No, it's an Aaron Rodgers question, Randy. Don't let him fool you. He's a Wisconsin boy.
How much influence or how much knowledge should a quarterback have, in your opinion, when it comes to personnel moves?
I think you should always allow your best players a window to be heard. I will say that, and I'm not skating the question, but I think they always should have a voice. In fact, I always made it a point to watch practice every day on the field, and I would be with the players. I kind of want to hear what they say about certain things with regard to our team. I think a person of Aaron Rodgers' status, a Russell Wilson, a Tom Brady, you've got to listen to them. They are in the trenches every day, so they do know. You don't have to do everything they want to do, but I sure would like to hear the information that they're willing to share. I don't think I would ever let a player make a decision per se because they don't have enough information. They don't have the total perspective you do as a head coach or as a GM. So I do think they should have some input. That's kind of riding the fence a little bit, but if they want to come watch film with you 12 hours a day and figure out the whole process and add and subtract all the players you're viewing, that's one thing. But I think they see it from a worm's eye point of view, and I think there's some valuable information there. So you've got to allow them a voice in the process for sure.
Well, that was worth the extra question. Thanks, Randy.
That was awesome.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate
Randy Mueller joining us. MuellerFootball.com. MuellerFootball.com. Go to Randy's website and all kinds of services and things you can see there and get Randy's expertise on everything going on with the NFL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.